offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
There is an old proverb that says, opportunity knocks at the door only once, but temptation bangs away persistently all the days of our lives. Have you experienced that to be true, at least in part? We're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, on this first Sunday in the Lenten season, we pray that your Holy Spirit will so speak to us that we will receive a new appreciation for all that Christ has done for us, that he has gone through this terrible period of suffering, that he has died as a sacrifice for our sins, and that he has been raised again for our justification. Lord, help us to understand what a treasure this is in knowing that there our sins are forgiven. Bless this program, we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee.
God, as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, It is written, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
We will glorify
friends in Christ. There is an old proverb that reads something like this: opportunity knocks at the door only once, but temptation bangs away persistently all the days of our lives. If that be at least partially true, don't you think that we need to know as much about temptation as we possibly can? In our text today, Jesus gives us insights into how subtle temptation can really be. The writer of the book of Hebrews has put it so well. We have a high priest who has been tempted as we are, and yet without sinning. So you see, Jesus is not just talking to us theoretically today, but he is relating to us an experience that he had as he walked on this earth. And you can be sure that he had them every single day as the tempter tried to break down his own relationship with God. So I'd like to begin by asking you a question. The text for today's sermon is centered in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, and it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil." Do you believe in a personal devil? And if you say yes, and somebody should say why, how would you answer him? Well, I know what I'd do. I'd say, well, that devil was certainly active in the life of Adam and Eve. He was active in the life of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of David, of the apostles, and he is active in the lives of all people in the world today. He was active in the life of Jesus Christ, though there he was defeated, but he is active in my life, it seems, every hour of the day. So when our text says that Jesus was led to the desert to be tempted by the devil, that is not necessarily a strange statement, for our temptations do come through the devil and all of his agents round about us. From this experience, then, in the life of Jesus, we learn a lot of things, and let me just point out a few of them to you this day. Satan attacks us when we are most vulnerable, when he really has us almost in the palm of his hands, when the setting is just right. For example, Jesus was tired. He'd been in the desert for 40 days. That's a long time. And without a doubt, he had all of that emotional exhaustion. He had not eaten for 40 days. He was alone. See how vulnerable Jesus was at that time for an attack by Satan. And then here it comes in a very subtle way. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Then you'll have something to eat. That's the attack at the right time. Think about it, friend. When do you experience some of your greatest hours of temptation? Might it not be at times when you are emotionally tired? You're not probably thinking clearly. Your spirits are down. You're worn out. And then on top of it, you're alone. There's no one with whom you can turn to share these frustrations. There is no confidant. Isn't it then that, in a very sly and subtle way, Satan also says to you and to me, what's the sense to keep going on and trying? He can say that to young people who have their daubers down once in a while, their grades are not good, their social life is not what they want it to be, they are wondering about the future. And he says to them, come on, what's it all about? If God is so great, why doesn't he help you along with those grades? And then it doesn't get any better when we're in middle age and we have the responsibility of raising a family. The financial stress, maybe some ills that have come to our bodies now. The marriage is under tension. And you say, if you're really a child of God and God is all that he says he is, why doesn't he clear up some of these things as far as you're concerned? And it doesn't end. The last few days I have spent some time in a nursing home with a couple of my old friends. I tell you that Satan is really busy there. If you are really his child, and if God is really God, and he has come to you in the person of Jesus Christ, why? Why do you have to suffer? Why couldn't you just have continued on until you no longer had the physical strength, and then why couldn't you die? That's what two of these people I visited with asked me as I sat by their bedside. That's an insight into how Satan works. When we are most vulnerable, he really attacks us. Here's a second way that the old tempter is around. He gets us to question our identity. When we begin to wonder, well, who are we anyway? Satan is beginning to move in. In verse 6 of our text, he said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. He had him there by the temple. Throw yourself down, test God, and see if he really is the Almighty, and if his protecting hands are really over you, and if it's really right that he says, I will let no one harm you. Why is all of this happening to me, you can turn around and say. You can ask the question, am I really a child of God? Jesus asked the question, am I really the promised Messiah? Or he could have. Satan was tempting him. Think of the times when Satan has said, look at all you have done for the church. Look at all the good things you have done for your family. See how prominent you have been in your community. And then this tragedy comes to you. Are you really a Christian? If you were a Christian, in the sense that Jesus has talked about it, wouldn't he have spared you from all of this? If you are who you think you are, a Christian, why doesn't God treat you better than your pagan brother who seems to have no affliction, no problems? What benefits are there in being a Christian for you? A subtle attack of Satan when you and I can be so very, very vulnerable. But here's another one. He offers us all kinds of happiness. If you will just bow down and worship me, I'll give you this world. I'll give you the kingdom. That's exactly what Satan said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. All this, I'll give you, if you will only bow down and worship me. Look at the material things of life. And Satan approaches us through sometimes our peers or others in our acquaintances. And he says, I got an awful lot to offer you. I can give you wealth. I can give you prestige. I can give you all these good things of life. Look, all of this I have in my hand. I will give you your little kingdoms. Well, let's take it from the standpoint of the big boys, shall we say that? And in our papers the last few weeks, we've been hearing a great deal about the Enron Corporation and one of the largest bankruptcies that has ever been filed in the history of our country. And we begin to see that there were things that were being done there that were not right on the part of many people. I simply raise the question, could Satan have been heard by some of those high-ranking officials who were making decisions and said to them, look, you're doing very, very well. You are to be congratulated, and you're also being reimbursed very well, and so are the shareholders and so forth. You live in your multi-million dollar houses. You fly your private jet planes. But wouldn't you like to have just a little bit more? If you got 25 million, wouldn't 50 million be better? See, there's that subtle thing. But this is what you probably have got to do. You've got to learn ways that you can acquire it. And sometimes they may be legal, but they're not morally right. Newspaper that I read here a few weeks wrote that Enron avoided paying federal income tax for 4 out of 5 years and received millions of dollars in federal tax refunds. Was it legal? I'm sure that it probably was. For some highly trained people in the law could find ways around it. Was it moral? That's another question, isn't it? But one thing we know, it must have been very profitable for a time. Oh, Satan wants to lift us up and to show us really some of the great kingdoms of the world. Now, it just doesn't have to be with those who are gaining a lot of money into the millions of dollars. It can come through you and me. If you will only leave those absolutes, those 10 commandments that God has given to you, if you will leave his spirit, then I can reward you. For I've got a kingdom that isn't promised to you as Jesus did years later after you have left this world. I have a kingdom for you right now that is very materialistic and will bring you all the desires of your heart. It's not only money. How it'd be something like this. A night out, having a good time. That's what the world calls it. Maybe you'll be unfaithful to your partner. And then you'll have the disrespect of your children and the loss of your spouse. But oh, how glorious it can seem to be when everything seems so appealing as far as some of our emotions are concerned, and that we can satisfy some of these appetites in a new way. Many a time I have sat in my study and heard the testimony of a broken person who yielded to Satan, thinking that he was getting a whole new kingdom as far as this world was concerned, or that she was getting the whole new kingdom. For it's not a matter of man versus woman. It's found on both sides of the coin. But here's a point, friend. While he offers us a world, while he comes to us when we are so very, very vulnerable, when he causes us to wonder about our identity and our relationship with the Lord Jesus, there we can experience that temptation and sometimes its defeat that goes along, that we are the ones who are defeated. But listen to this. The point of our text today is to learn that Satan can be defeated. Look how Jesus did it. He turned to his word. And when he said to him, "Look, why don't you just turn this stone into a piece of bread?" Jesus goes back to the Word of God. And he says, man does not live by bread alone. He is countering Satan's temptation by the teaching of the Word of God. When Satan says to him, "Throw yourself down and see if your God is going to lift you up," Jesus answered, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to test.'" Don't begin to wonder where he is if he doesn't give you everything that you want. When he said to him, "Look, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world," our Lord again goes back to the Word of God and says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only, and bow to no one.'" You see, he comes back to the Word of God. What does that tell us? It tells us, my friend, that we need to have a knowledge of the Word of God. And that means that I live with it. I memorize some of it. Its content rings in my ears. And when the temptation comes, I say, no, I cannot do that. God has said, no, there's my director, there's my counselor. And not only does he direct and counsel by teaching us, but he is our enabler. He gives us the power to say no and to walk away from Satan and his ways. We have just entered into the Lenten season, and we're going to walk, God willing, through another Lent, and we're going to see the sufferings and the death of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. And then when this Lenten season is all over, and this year it's March 31st, we're going to go to our churches, God willing, and we're still on this earth, and we're going to celebrate the glorious resurrection, that Jesus Christ has come forth, and that he has won the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. Satan got him sent to the cross, though it was the will of God, because that was the way our sins were going to be paid for. But Jesus did die. Notice this. Entombed, he came forth from the grave. And when Jesus came forth from the grave, there was victory over Satan. And my friend, he may send us down to defeat more often than we like to admit. But let us never forget this, that we can come back to him. He is not a dead Lord. He is a living, risen Lord. He is the one to whom you and I can come in the times of our temptation. He is the one who can lift us up. He is the one who can have us victorious over sin, death, and the devil. Yeah, look at our world. Satan is pretty much alive, isn't he? He's well, too. He's all around us. And we're weak and we fall. But that is not the end. For we know that there is victory in Jesus Christ. The other day, I picked up a leading news magazine, and this is what I read. "So many choices, and no one to trust. In today's world, you're on your own, baby." No, we're not on our own. There are so many choices. And sometimes we're wondering, whom do I trust? Until I turn to the Word of God. And then I know that I'm not on my own. For Jesus Christ, the crucified but risen Lord, walks with me. Amen.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? And long for heaven and home.
Lord, it is our prayer that this word that has come from you may linger long in our hearts. Help us to know, God, that you have been in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Help us to know that you're the one who has walked on this earth, who has experienced Satan with all of his power and strength, moving into not only our heads, but our hearts. And so you can identify with us. You can say, I know what you're going through. So, Father, we pray that we may turn to you, not only for our counsel, but also for our strength. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the gospel message heard today will bring you peace and joy in the days to come. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported entirely by you, our listening family. We thank each of you for your continued financial support. Your faithful gifts enable us to pay our monthly radio bills. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. And call weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. You may leave a message on voicemail at any time. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once more, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.